In those readings, we've had an opportunity this evening to remember once again some of the things that our Lord did. And if I can take 5 or 10 minutes of your time now, I want to talk about two things. First of all, I want to speak about our Lord's work, his work, the work that he did. And secondly, I want to speak about the two gifts that he gave to his disciples. So first of all then, the work of Jesus. And we can say very straightforwardly that he came to give his life. That was his work. He came to give his life. Or to put it in another way, he came to die. That's why he came. Now, we're thinking about his death, and we can say about that, on the one hand, that it was a dreadful thing, but on the other hand, we can say that it was a powerful thing. You see, if you think about his death, crucifixion was the execution of a criminal. It was a shameful and an agonizing way to put a man to death. But according to the scriptures, there's another dimension to this. To be hung on a tree is to be cursed. And so the very form of death was dreadful, particularly because it contained an expression of God's disapproval, God's wrath. And so it was a dreadful death. But on the other hand, it was a powerful death. It says in scripture, this is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So the world may look at this and say, that is foolish or that is dreadful, but the church looks at it and says, yes, but there's the power of God to save sinners. So it is a powerful death. And in a way, these two sides of the coin are shown by what happened. On the one hand, you had the darkness that came over that mountain when he was crucified. You had that darkness. And on the other hand, we had the veil of the temple torn in two from top to bottom. You see, the darkness itself was an expression of God's frown, his wrath. And yet, the tearing of the temple, the opening of the veil, was a sign of God's acceptance. And so, when we think of Jesus dying, we have these two sides to it. But all the time, I want you to think, he came to die. He came to do this. You might say, yes, well, men did that to him. It's true. Cruel men murdered him. That's what Peter says. But Jesus says, yes, but he says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So although men were crucifying him, it was actually Jesus at work giving his life for his people. Now, I want you to think for a moment, very briefly, that the whole of our Lord's life, right, the whole of his life, he spent anticipating his death. It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't something that happened at the end of his life. He had come in order to do this. And so as he lived his life, as he grew up, as he lived as a man and listened to the scriptures being read in the synagogue and so on, all the time he was, as it were, coming to that time when he would stretch out his hands at Calvary upon that cross and receive the nails through his hands and into his feet. This death of Jesus had been planned in the councils of eternity. God planned this and gave him this work before he even created the worlds. God announced this death at the very beginning of history. He told Adam what would happen. And the prophets in their generations spoke about his death to come. And our Lord Jesus knew what was coming. He knew what he had come to do. And if you look at the readings carefully, you can see that on the one hand, he shrank from it. And on the other hand, he came towards it. He desired it. This is on the first page of your sheet, but let me read it to you. Maybe not all of it is. We read in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, as Jesus contemplated the cross, he prayed like this, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me." Now he prayed on, "Nevertheless, your will be done." But you can see, can't you, that on the one hand, the prospect of the cross was something he did not welcome. But on the other hand, he says to his disciples, this is in verse 15 of the first reading, it's certainly on the first page of your readings, he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." You see, when you think of the death of our Lord Jesus, on the one hand, there was the dreadfulness of it, something to be dreaded, to think of the forsakenness by God, to think of that. But on the other hand, it was a work that he came to do and he desired to do it. And I want you to think about that he desired to do something that was awful. He desired to bring about, as it were, bring on himself that suffering, that death. Now John, the Apostle John, says about this, he says, "In this, the love of God was manifested towards us." Why? That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. John says, look at Calvary, look at what he does. He says, God has shown his love towards us at Calvary. He says, listen, he says, "In this is love, not that we loved God," we didn't love God, "but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We have in Calvary, in that work that Jesus did, we have the love of God shown to us, undeserved love for sinners, and we have the love of Christ shown to us, undeserved love of sinners. Hear him on the cross. Hear him. "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." He came to die that they might be forgiven. And many of them who crucified him later were forgiven. So I say to you, that is the work that Jesus came to do. Tonight we want to think about the work that Jesus came to do. And then secondly, I want to speak to you about the two gifts that he gave to his disciples. And you can see this in the Last Supper. Again, it's on the first page of your readings. At the Last Supper, Jesus gave them two gifts. And I'm focusing really on verses 19 and 20. What were the two gifts that Jesus gave to his disciples and to us? The first gift he gave them was his body. He gave them his body. He says to them in verse 19, "This is my body, which is given for you." He said, "I'm giving you my body." Or to be accurate, he is saying, "I am giving my body for you, for your sake." That's what it means. What does Jesus mean when he says to them, "I give you my body, which is for you, for your sake"? Well, this was at a feast where they had the Passover lamb. And the Passover lamb had been a sacrifice for the sins of Israel. But now Jesus is saying to them, "No more the Passover lamb. Now you have me. I am your sacrifice." That's what he means. When he says, this is very short, I know, when he says, "This is my body, which is given for you," what he means is, "I am giving you myself in death as your sacrifice so that you may be forgiven your sins." He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, That's what he is. Our minds are being directed away from the Passover lamb which was sacrificed in Egypt some 1400 years before. Away from that and to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says to them, I give you my body. This is my body which is given for you. Given for your sake, on your behalf. He is saying to them, I come to die in your place so that you may live. I come to suffer the wrath of God so that you may be blessed by him and favored by him. Everlasting life. And he gave them bread as a symbol of himself. He gave them the bread and said, this is representing me. When you think of my death, I want you to come together and eat this bread. But you see, the eating of the bread is symbolic of the way in which we receive Christ. You see, the Bible says that to believe in him is to receive him. And to partake of him is to eat him. We do this by faith. By faith. In other words, this is Jesus saying to us, take hold of me and receive me as yours. So that's the first thing he gave them. And the second thing he gave them is in the next verse. He says, I give you my blood. He gives his body. He gave them his blood. You see those words in verse 20. Listen, this is the new covenant in my blood. But notice the next words, which is poured out or shed for you. The word shed for you means it is poured out for your sake. In other words, when our Lord Jesus gave himself to be crucified, the shedding of his blood was for his disciples, for you and for me. He gave us his blood. Now he speaks about his blood in a very special way. He says, this is the new covenant in my blood. What does he mean? What he means in very brief is this, that when he sheds his blood, he brings us into a perfect relationship with God. That's what the new covenant means. When you are in the new covenant, you are in a perfect relationship with God. It means that your sins are forgiven. It means that you know God and he receives you as his child. It is a perfect relationship with God. Now, those of you who know a bit more about the history, you will remember that Moses brought Israel into a covenant with God at Sinai. But Jeremiah thinks about that and he says, you know that covenant, don't you? That covenant they broke. They didn't keep it. They didn't keep their relationship with God. They rebelled against him and broke that covenant. And now Jesus is coming to say, but I am making for you a new covenant. In my blood, there is this new covenant which Jeremiah spoke of, which can never, ever be broken. Now, you know, some of you will know that I've shortened that to the essence of the matter. And that's all I want to do tonight. I want to say to you, Jesus gave himself to the world. He gave himself to us. He gave himself to us in death. And when he speaks about this is my body and this is my blood, it's another way of saying, I give you myself dying for you so that you may be forgiven, so that you may be a child of God. Now when Jesus gave them this, he said, just before he gave it to them, he said, I'm not going to drink this wine again. Until later, he said, until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And really what he's pointing to, he's saying, the work that I'm doing will bring about a perfect fulfillment. He's talking about heaven. The day is coming when we, as those who are forgiven, because of the blood of Christ, will be gathered together before God in heaven to be with him forever. And that's why he says new covenant, because that relationship with God will never, ever, ever be broken, because it's safe to us in Christ. Okay, so this is what we've been thinking about tonight. We've been thinking about what he did. You know, read Luke, read the other Gospels, remember what he did. But also remember that he gave himself to us. And on Sundays, when we come to the Lord's table and we have bread and wine, it is Christ reminding us that he died for us so that we may have a perfect relationship with God. This is the love of Christ to us undeserving sinners. Amen.